Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Thank you all for being here this morning to join us. Our kind and gracious Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to serve you today. We ask, dear Father, that you will send your Holy Spirit to use us, to speak through us. Help this word that we have received from you to be a blessing to everyone here. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Our confession of his faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. We are to acknowledge his grace as made known through the holy men of old. But that which will be most effectual is the testimony of our experience. These precious acknowledgments to the praise and the glory of his grace, when supported by a Christ-like life, have an irresistible power that works for the salvation of souls. That comes from Desires of Ages, page 347. A friend was considering buying a really good camera. Knowing her plan, her two sons were discussing the pros and cons of various camera brands. She heard one say, "A good one is one which mom can change the lens from time to time to get a good, candid shot." The other said, "But that would be a hassle for mom. It would be an additional weight when she travels." They were right. Their comments started me thinking. Today, even with the hassle and the additional weight, I would still encourage each of us to change the lens of our eye of faith as we focus on the experience of one poor, sick, exhausted woman. Her name is not given in the Bible, but her story is recorded in three of the four Gospels, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22, Mark 5, verses 25 through 34, and Luke 8, verses 43 to 48, and an entire chapter in the Desire of Ages. The touch of faith is dedicated to her story. I believe with all my heart that this account was chosen by God to speak to us, for he has a special message for us this morning. Why did Jesus ask, "Who touched me?" Didn't he know? Wasn't the crowd pressing all against him up on all sides? Why did he pursue this inquiry? To answer this, four D's will be our focal points for consideration: the woman's desperation, her determination, her deliverance, and her declaration and God's response.
Good morning, church. I'm going to talk about desperation, her need. Jesus, the itinerant teacher, was in a hurry. He had just consented to the emergency request of a very respected and important man, Jairus, whose daughter was dying. The frantic, anxious, loving father was in great haste. He wanted Jesus to just touch his daughter. He knew she would be healed. Oh, if there had only been an ambulance, he would command the driver to drive as fast as he could, with sirens blasting and lights flashing. Then everybody would give way and move to the side of the road. But in this case, Jesus could hardly move because of the vast crowds pressing him on all sides. It was not unusual for him to be pressed by a throng of well-wishers, the curious, and the needy. The woman in our story also had a desperate need. She had heard about this man, Jesus, who accepts people regardless of who they are. She came and followed him. She desired to be healed. She needed healing. And who would not? Both the ruler and the sick woman, representing two classes of people, needed Jesus. Church, we all have needs in our life, don't we? All of us, we have needs. And since I heard that responding yes, why don't we come to Jesus?
Determination. As we know from the record, this woman had been bleeding for 12 long years, ZZ, and had no more resources to find a cure. She was pale, weak, and exhausted. What made it worse was that she could not touch anyone, and no one could touch her. It was the law. She felt dirty and useless. The bed she slept on, the chair she sat on, the things she touched, everything she touched, all were considered unclean. But she heard about Jesus and what he was doing. Especially for the sick people, Pastor. Someone must have shared the good news with her. How wonderful to share the good news of salvation with others, Sister Cheadle. Her hopes revived when she heard of the cures that Christ performed. She felt assured that if she could only go to him, she would be healed. With a strong conviction of Jesus' power to heal, she threw off all restraint. Faith was growing stronger and stronger in her heart. Her faith was developed from within as evidenced by what she thought to herself. We call that positive self-talk. If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. That's faith. What a great faith in Jesus.
Okay, so I have the third D, deliverance, which relies mostly on a strong faith. You have to have a strong faith to be delivered. You have to be willing to receive that help from someone. So notice that this woman did not come boldly like Jairus, her daddy. You know, daddy's girl. Everyone loves their dad, usually. Anyway, I love my dad. And, you know, dads do a lot for their daughters. So she did not come boldly like Jairus, who went forward and fell at Jesus' feet. She came behind and touched the border of his garment. So I was thinking about this, and you know how, like, little kids play games with you, and they'll go around, and they'll, like, touch you on one side, and then they'll be on the other, you know? And then you're looking back, like, who is that? You know, who touched me or something like that? Or you feel a bug crawling on you, and you know that something's there, but you don't know what it is. You can just feel it. So anyway, going on, she touched the border of his garment. Now listen how Ellen White describes this. And Desire of Ages. The golden opportunity had come. She was in the presence of the great physician, but amid the confusion, she could not speak to him nor catch more than a passing glimpse of his figure. Fearful of losing her one chance of relief, she pressed forward. As he was passing, she reached forward and succeeded in barely touching the border of his garment. But in that moment, she knew she was healed. What a relief to know that you can be healed. Yes, she touched him and she felt cured. She was delivered, healed, but her heart began to pound when Jesus suddenly stopped. Remember, there was an emergency request from Jairus, the synagogue ruler, when Jesus paused. Anyway, when Jesus paused, the crowd stopped with him. The healed woman wondered, did he know? Could he possibly distinguish her hand on his robe in such a crowd?
The declaration. Her testimony and God's response. Now I need you to pull this whole picture that's going on with this woman. 12 years with an issue of blood. 12 years sick. And only the touch of the Master could heal her. As she reached out and touched his garment, instantly, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" The people answered. This query amazed them, jostled on all sides, with people pushing hither and thither. That was a strange inquiry. Who touched my clothes? Peter, ever ready to speak, said, "Master, the throng is pressing thee, and you're saying, who touched me?" Jesus answered, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Jesus could distinguish the touch of faith from the casual contact of the careless crowd. Have you ever been touched with genuine faith? When Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Does this mean also that he's asking, what really touches me? From this story, we can be assured of Jesus' care for us. Members, visitors, and friends, he is touched by our poverty. In the case of this woman, the Bible says she had spent all of her money. Now, a lot of you are in here, including me. I'm going to the laboratory and they're charging me all of this for all of these blood tests. So she had spent all of her money going to the doctors, paying for doctor's visit, paying for lab tests for 12 years. You can understand. Someone observed, Jesus must have loved the poor because he made so many of them. And another responded, yes, he loves the rich too. He loves all people, rich and poor, but especially the poor. The woman was very poor. But poverty has nothing to do that when we call on the name of Jesus, he answers. He doesn't care if you got money or you don't. He listens to the cry and he responds. Infirmities and sickness. Jairus longed for his daughter's healing. Jesus quickly consented to go with him. And the woman who touched him had been sick for 12 years. In this, one of the many stories, we see that Jesus loves the sick. We know that he spent most of his time while on earth healing the sick. Are you sick today? If you are sick today, let Jesus touch you. He loves you and he cares for you. There are many of us in here who have gone through sickness. The choir sang, God restores. I want you to know that there is no sickness that you are experiencing that God cannot restore you. He may not answer right away, but he will answer. God restores. You and I are a testimony of his love for us. Sadness. A comforting song says, never a sorrow that he doth not share. Moment by moment, I'm under his care. Our loving Jesus is touched when someone passes away. Jesus wept when Lazarus died. But God has promised that those who die in Christ, those who trust in him, he will raise up. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He comforts those who mourn. Sins. God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to redeem us from sin. He isn't asking us to give our children. The Father gave his Son that we will have eternal life. He left the splendor of heaven because of his great love and his faithfulness to us. 1 John 1:9 assures us, if we confessed our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we're holding on any little sins today, I want you to know, confess your sins. You don't have to get up and run around the church and bawl the name of the sin out. Just in your heart and mind, you ask Jesus to help you. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And he has promised that if you call on him, he will help you. He will deliver you. That's how much he loves us. Looking at the woman, Jesus insisted on knowing who had touched him. Listen to her testimony. Twelve years. That's how long I've been unclean. Okay, I lost my thought. Sorry. I got nervous. I just had to get my thought. That's a long time to be cleaned. Never been touched, hugged. You see? Don't be this nervous, but okay, I'm gonna start over. 1 second, my beginning. Okay, I'm starting. 12 years. That's a long time to be untouched, unclean. Almost as bad as having leprosy. You don't understand. No, I suppose you wouldn't. Take your Bible, read your Bible, the Old Testament Bible. It says, a woman shall be put apart 7 days after she stops bleeding, and anyone who touches her is unclean even until the evening. You see, I have been bleeding. If you've been bleeding every day for almost 12 years, you're never clean. Never been touched, hugged, or even touched. You say, have I been to a doctor? Oh, yes, plenty of them. And none of them. Useless, all of them. But I kept on going, kept on hoping. They would just sit in their chairs, ask you personal questions, but they would sit way away from me. They would ask personal questions and give you advice, none of which helped me. So all through the years, I just got weaker and weaker, paler and paler. I almost thought I couldn't make it. Then I heard about Jesus. He walked with the lepers. He touched the lepers, and they were healed. Maybe. No, they were all men. He wouldn't heal me. I'm only a woman. But maybe he will. But I was too scared to go to him and ask him. What if I could just touch him? Oh, and then he would be unclean too. Well, if I can touch his clothes, that's what I'll do. I'll touch his clothes. Nobody will ever know. Whew. It was hard getting to Jesus. After several attempts, I finally joined a crowd that didn't know me. And I fought alone in that crowd until I was close enough to brush against the edge of his clothes.
And then suddenly, I was well. I knew it even before I looked at my hands, all rosy and peach. I'm healthy again. Woo! I felt like jumping and shouting. I'm healed. I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. But I couldn't do that. I don't want no publicity. I don't want no questions asked. I just back on in the crowd. But Jesus turned and looked at me. Who touched me? What a silly question. All this crowd around here. He don't ask who touched him. He looked at me as if he knew all about me. Who touched me? He said. What he really meant was, whom have I touched with healing? I was so ashamed. I felt horrible. I touched an unclean woman, got into the crowd. Oh, the people, they're going to punish me. I will be really punished. But Jesus, he looked at me. What would Jesus do? Will he tell me about the laws that I have broken? The people, will they punish me? Will they beat me because I made this man unholy, unclean? Or will Jesus be angry because I polluted him? I interrupt his mission, his urgency mission. A little girl was dying, and I polluted him. Oh. But no, Jesus looked at me. I fell down to his knees. I fell down at his feet. And I poured out my whole life story to him. I looked up at him. He wasn't angry. He was moved. He said, daughter. He called me daughter. He said, your God has restored you to health. Go in peace and be free of your sufferings. Jesus knew all about me. He knew what my problem was. But I wanted to keep silent. I wanted to keep silent. But God in his wisdom, he knew. He wouldn't allow me to stay silent. Jesus knew the benefits that I would reap, that I would acknowledge for acknowledging his goodness and grace. The woman that had been bleeding for 12 years, 12 long years, that's me. And I don't mind telling you now, because I came to praise the Lord. I came to praise the Lord, to thank Jesus for healing me. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, he touched me. Me, he touched me. And now I'm whole.
God is good. Me. And now I am no longer.
something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease, I'll never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh Lord, he touched me. And oh, the joy that flood my soul. Something happened. Something happened, and now he touched me. He touched me, and he made me whole. Now something happened. Oh, it happened, and
brief incident, Jesus started to move on again. But the woman remained on her knees, wrapped in God's presence, weeping with joy, relief, and gratitude. Imagine Jesus if he had not passed by her. Her suffering was over. She was whole again, and she was clean. What a Savior. What a Savior is mine to praise and to thank for all his countless gifts to me. Ellen White reminds us that through our expressions of gratitude to God, we bring benefit to ourselves. Let me read that again. Ellen White reminds us that through our expressions of gratitude to God, we bring benefit to ourselves. It is for our own benefit to keep every gift of God fresh in our memory. Thus, faith is strengthened to claim and to receive more and more. The soul that responds to the grace of God shall be watered like a garden. His health shall spring forth speedily. His light shall rise in obscurity, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon him. Let us then remember the loving kindness of the Lord and the multitude of his tender mercies. Desire of Ages, pages 348. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Declare the glory of God. Testify of his goodness and his faithfulness to us. Please tell others what he has done in your life. Return in gratitude to him, like the like the only one of the 10 lepers who expressed gratitude to Jesus. At this moment, if you would, please choose a partner close to you, nearby, and share what you are most thankful to God for. Just for a couple of minutes. I know we have a lot to be thankful for. So if you would, just quickly, for 2 or 3 minutes, if you would share with each other how much you have to thank and praise God for. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Isn't it good to know that God is good to someone else too? Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for reminding us that you delight to hear our story, the story of your great love and what you have done in the lives every moment of the day. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to express our testimonies. We know that this is pleasing to you when it comes from the heart of faith, our worship, our response to your kindness and love. Lord, cause us to be courageous to come back to you and say thank you for every blessing, great and small. In the past, we may have been careless. Oh Lord, please forgive our ungratefulness. From this time on, help us to constantly respond to your grace. In the mighty yet loving name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.